Well, it's a joy to be with you this morning to open up God's Word, and hope that you are able to turn with us into Ephesians chapter 3. That's where we'll be reading from this morning as we finish up our series. I was thinking back to a few times growing up, we had some car problems. And by car problems, I mean the car was completely dead. There was no power, and my dad couldn't fix it. We needed to take it to the shop, but of course it didn't run. So how to get it to the shop? Well, we live in such an amazing time. There are actually trucks designed for pulling other vehicles. We call them tow trucks. And of course, we Bairds knew about this marvelous invention. But what if you could tow your lifeless car across town without using a tow truck? Now that would be a trick. What if you could pass a half-inch nylon rope through the frame and tie it to your other car? And what if you had a teenage son behind the wheel as you slowly made the rope taut and pulled out into the street? I imagine you'd want to do this under cover of darkness to minimize traffic concerns and avoid suspicion. It would probably be good to blow through as many stop signs as you could to avoid losing tension on the rope. Well, this thought experiment became my reality. And with a foot hovering nonstop over the brake, my hands white-knuckling the steering wheel and cold sweat rolling down my back, I careened an accordion my way across our town to the garage. Thankfully, we made it safely and made it back home, and the car was fixed. For many of us, the Christian life can feel like we're steering a lifeless car behind some other vehicle that has true power. Our prayers, our response to difficulties, our love and service to others may look like vibrant faith, but the engine of our heart seems powerless. If this is you, if that's how you're feeling this morning, if that's how it's been for you recently, I want to encourage you, take heart, because this idea couldn't be further from the truth. The adventure of Christian living is powered by the Holy Spirit every day. Jesus promised to give us the fuel that we need for this road trip and every obstacle along the way. Venturing forth from our comfortable hobbit holes to be with Jesus in the 1,001 moments of life is most vitalized. It's most alive when we draw upon the limitless resource and the consistent help promised in our life as Christians. If you've joined us the past few weeks, we've marveled again at the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus, who restores us to honor and service to him. Grace enables us to be what we called love, C and D type of people, people of self-sacrificial love for the sake of others, even for our enemies. This is God's great love, which fills us to overflow with active love for others. This is what the church does. This is the love that the world needs right now. As you listened in to the pastoral prayer, Pastor Jeremy shared about the concerns that just this week cropped up. The world needs to see the sacrificial servant love of Jesus every day. And we've also been reminded that in every adventure there are trials. But Jesus is with us in the storms, always drawing near to us with hope, with the gift of the gospel as the anchor for our life. We have the great resource in Jesus. We have a great resource in prayer. And I loved hearing last week the honest depiction of our difficulties and our frustrations in prayer. Isn't it freeing to know that prayer is just being the real you to the real God? When we pour out our soul to God, this is what he wants, and he expects for our sake and for the sake of the world. Through all the obstacles, God's love and mercy in the work of Jesus secures us from threats to our soul. We can depend on him when we're tested. And so being reminded of these truths gets me excited to renew my faith and my commitment to Christ with you all. But this isn't a hype video. This is the real deal. And many of us like the sound of this adventure, and we even agree with it, but we feel broken down, immobile, powerless. So where do we get the power to maintain momentum in this adventure of Christian living? What will get the engine of our faith running again? Well, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians at the end of chapter 3 points to the Holy Spirit as the unlimited source of power to live faithfully as a Christian day after day. So let's read together from Ephesians chapter 3, the ending prayer here, starting at verse 14 to the end in 21. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. As you listen to that, it's clear from Paul's prayer that we're not powerless. He prays with specificity and certainty for God to strengthen us. He says, with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The power that we need in the adventure of Christian living doesn't start with us, but it's given to us. This power affects us at a fundamental level. This strengthening of power takes place, he says, in our inner being, in our soul. It's the power at the gut level to live by faith. Now notice how Paul begins with worship. He acknowledges the Father, his Creator. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named." We're named, we're given our purpose through his fatherly care that is here shown to be over all creation, in heaven and on earth. Paul starts with worship. He bows his knee, he approaches. And then he ends with worship at the end, focusing on eternal glory and praise because of God's great work to save people from sin and to answer prayer. Right? He says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus." So spiritual power in our lives always has its origins in the ultimate source. There's no spiritual power that we acquire that we can muster up from within ourselves. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul will say that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We can't resurrect ourselves. We need an outside power source. We're creatures in God's good order, and he's the Creator who cares for us. So if you're feeling powerless, if you're feeling unfulfilled, a practical place to start is returning to worship. Return to identifying what's exceptional about God. Begin by focusing on the power source that's outside yourself. You can start with passages like Deuteronomy 3 and verse 24. "O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven and on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours?" Or Psalm 68 verses 34 and 35. "Ascribe power to God whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary. The God of Israel, he is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God." Often, if you're like me, we forget that our starting place should be thanksgiving and worship to our Creator. And instead, we turn to self-help books, to seminars, to TED Talks, to platitudes that are meant to motivate us. I found a few common examples. Here's the first one. You are essentially who you create yourself to be, and all that occurs in your life is the result of your own making. Second one, everything is within your power, and your power is within you. Or thirdly, with positive attitude, you can graciously overcome every adversity. Well, these quotes, they're meant to instill resilience and determination and grit. And those are all good things. But I like George Carlin's joke that taps into the ludicrous lie that we create ourselves. He says this, I went to a bookstore and asked the saleswoman, where's the self-help section? She said, if she told me, it would defeat the purpose. Now this story, it's a bit cheeky, but he's tapping into the myth of our own self-creation and into our need for input, into our need for advice, into our need for help throughout the various areas of our life. We can't even find the self-help section. The myth of our own self-creation is even more unbelievable when we think about moral questions, when we think about matters of the heart. A careful examination of our own lives as we look around the world, this reveals that no one's able to live up to their moral commitments. No one does the right thing all the time. Everyone lets someone down. The Bible puts it this way, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Thankfully, the remedy for our imperfection, our sinfulness, our disordered lives doesn't have to come from within us, because God, out of his loving care, sent his son to do what we couldn't do, and he invites us into his life and connects us to his power to live a completely different way. This is power from an external source that's taken into ourselves and not only fuels our attitudes and actions, but it actually becomes a part of us. We're transformed. We're changed. I read the story about marathoner Brian Maxwell, who, with his future wife, Jennifer Biddulph, spent years perfecting Power Bar to be, as they said, the perfect energy bar to help athletes survive long-distance events without running out of glycogen. They wanted to provide athletes with energy to be taken into their bodies, enabling them to function at a high level without running out of power. The power bar started outside the body, but then it became part of the runner to enable them to do what they were endeavoring to accomplish. Well, the power to live as a Christian is external to us because it comes from God in the work of the Son through the Spirit. But it ends up residing in our souls. It's the power of the living God embodied in all who have faith in the work of Jesus. We never get away from the dependence we confess when we ask forgiveness for our sins. We never get away from the need for a Savior when we receive the salvation Jesus offers. But our dependence is transformed because of our new relationship with God. Before we were sinners, now we are members of God's kingdom. Before we were slaves, now we are heirs of the promise. This new relationship is established through what Jesus did, accepting the forgiveness Christ offers, committing to follow and serving him. It leads us to study and believe Jesus and his teachings. And so as we think about the power for the Christian life, as you're wondering, why do I feel so powerless? Listen to what Jesus promised. He says in John 14, I will ask the Father and he'll give another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then later in Acts, before he returns to his Father, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Who better than Jesus to make good on his promise to give power for the Christian life by sending his Holy Spirit. Who better than Jesus to promise fuel for the adventure of Christian living? Who are you going to believe? Your own self-help aisle in Amazon? Or the one that you've given your whole life to? The one who saved you? The one who redeemed you? And Paul's prayer here is that the promised Spirit will empower us to understand and better grasp the immensity of the love of Jesus. Did you hear what he said? What is the breadth and the length and the height and depth of it? What does the Spirit's power and strength accomplish? Well, he builds the vitality of Christ into our inner being. He fills us up with faith in our hearts as we meditate. What do we meditate on? He says, on Christ's love. Do you realize that for Christians, every dimension, every direction of our life is touched by the love of Jesus? Consider this. Meditate on it. Walk through the aspects of your life. Pray to comprehend this. For Christians, every dimension, every direction, every relationship, every thought of our lives is touched by the love of Jesus. One of the Spirit's gifts to us is a deeper understanding, then, of Christ's sacrificial love, which is to say, a deeper understanding of the gospel. When we realize the comprehensive, self-giving flood of love flowing from Jesus, as we look at the cross, as we see the victory of redemption, we understand that we have all the power needed to faithfully follow him. It fuels our lives. And so as we grow in our love for Christ, Paul says, we're filled with the fullness of God. This is the goal, to be complete, to be filled with all that God is, all that he wants us to be as his people. As I think about our church, as I think about each of you, as we think about God's movement, I'm comforted here by Paul's comment that his power and his knowledge are provided for all the saints. Did you catch that? In verse 18, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. All the saints, so we can together be filled with the fullness of God. Here, as in so many places in the New Testament, we find a communal call. We can pray and we can urge one another on, empowered by God's Spirit, to understand and to live out the love of Jesus. And this informs our patience with each other. It informs our service together, our worship, and our support of one another as we use our gifts to express the fullness of God. I can't do that by my own. I need you. We need to do this together. And when we do this, the world sees the light of Jesus in the darkness. And the world sees the validity of the love of Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. And so if we believe what the Bible says, if we believe what Paul says here, then the Holy Spirit is an eternal tank of gasoline for our lives. He's the eternal spark firing in the engine of our hearts. And we're reliant on this gift. We need this helper to run our souls on the everlasting love given to us by Jesus. Well, this morning, I want to conclude by bringing the promise of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives to areas of practical and current concern. And to do that, I need the help of your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. So in August of 1962, Stan Lee introduced the world to the Spider-Man. Peter Parker, bitten by a radioactive spider, gains arachnid superpowers, and he has to figure out life in a confusing world. This groundbreaking teenage superhero story begins in tragedy. Now, it's important to know that at that time, there had never been a headlining standalone superhero who was still in high school. But at that time in your life, there's so much that's up and down, so much that you're trying to learn. And so in the first issue, after the murder of his Uncle Ben at the hand of a criminal, whom Peter had earlier chosen not to stop, he could have intervened and it would have saved his uncle's life, but he didn't. The comic closes with a view of Peter's back as he walks down an alley with the caption, and a lean, silent figure slowly fades into the gathering darkness, aware at last that in this world with great power, there must also come great responsibility. This phrase expanded into our popular culture through the Spider-Man movies, but its origins goes back hundreds and even thousands of years. Winston Churchill, Teddy Roosevelt, and others incorporated versions of this aphorism into their speech and their writings, and Jesus himself teaches a version of it in Luke chapter 12. He says, "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." And so in thinking about the power for the adventure of Christian living, I wanted to assure us, I wanted to remind us that we have all the fuel and power we need to love sacrificially like Jesus, because we have the promised Holy Spirit, because we have God's influence in our life. This is the same power. Think about this. This is the same power that created the cosmos. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's the same power that called you to faith, equipping you for good work. It's unstoppable. It's all-powerful. It's guided by perfect wisdom. You can trust him. Which leads us back to Spider-Man and, much more importantly, to Jesus. With great power comes great responsibility. And so part of the adventure of Christian living is using our spiritual imaginations and the unlimited power that's at work in the church because of the Spirit to chart a course to real life action. For you personally and for us together. So if you're like me, the problems of my interior life can overwhelm me. The daily concerns just in my own household, the complexity of relationships threaten to overwhelm my spiritual footing. And we're reminded here that God's fitted us for service based in the unstoppable love of Jesus and based in the presence of his Spirit in our lives. And given this great power that fuels the soul, we can have confidence to submit our personal sins and struggles to the Lord in repentance. We can have confidence that the Holy Spirit draws us nearer to God's word and to prayer, to daily walk in the truth and the wisdom of God's ways, to grow in this. He informs our every interaction to look and to sound and to be more like Jesus. You're not mustering up. You're being fueled to be like Jesus. And we also have the power to take risks to share what Christ has done, because it isn't about convincing or arguing someone into Christianity. You don't have to have all the right answers. No, we're confident in the power of Christ's love. And so we share about what God's powerfully doing, not just what he's done, but what he's doing in our lives to help us to know the love of Christ. This is the message we have to share, and it's an expanding one. Do you see what Paul prayed? He said that you would know the depth and the breadth and the height. It's this expanding understanding, comprehension, and experience of God's love in our lives. And so daily we have more of a message to share. This is the message that we have to share. It's this growing message. You can tell your neighbor more about Jesus today because God's Spirit is empowering you with a deeper understanding of his love. And think about, as a church, we can also face the social problems that beset us with great confidence, because we have the power of God fueling us as we seek to wisely care for the poor, to thoughtfully engage on issues like racism and human trafficking, which we heard about last week, affordable housing, at-risk families and children in the foster care system. These are things we don't have to shy away from because we can have confidence that God is empowering us. Remember when Jesus told Peter that he was going to build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it? Often I've thought about this as a protectionist statement. Don't worry, Peter. You'll be able to make it. Satan won't be able to crush us. And that's true. But in the adventure of Christian living, we have the power to love sacrificially at our disposal by the Spirit of God. And so we see that the priorities of God, what he is doing, are realized in the faithful actions of the church. And the gates of hell can't prevail against that powerful work the work that's in our midst. So each of us has this power, all of us together, and the church around the world must seek the Lord together. We must rely on God's Spirit to direct us so that we honor the responsibility set before us as Christ's glorious church. So I close with another blessing and a prayer from Paul, he's so good, to the Colossians. And this is our hope, and this is our prayer for our church. It's our prayer for each of you as well. He writes, "We've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Would you join me in prayer? Our Father, we thank you for this great encouragement to us, this reminder that you have not left us alone. We're not orphans, but we are citizens in your kingdom, heirs to the promise. And Jesus, you promised us you'd send your Spirit to empower us, to live faithfully, to live out the gospel. And I thank you for my friends. I thank you for my fellow brothers and sisters and the way that you are using them in their house, in their neighborhood, at their workplace. And Lord, would you fuel us for ministry? Would you fuel us for gospel witness? Would you fuel us for worship and glorification? Would you fuel us to walk with each other and bear each other's burdens? Could we be your glorious church in this day? Lord, we are begging you. We are coming before you with hearts asking, just fill us again. Fuel us again. Give us strength for this day to love you more and to share that love with others. We commit ourselves to this task. And we thank you that you're the one who will bring it about through your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let the fragrance of our just want to remind you that there's the option for private prayer after the service in a Zoom room that's set up for you. You can access that through the live stream page, and an elder and a deacon would love to pray with you. It's been good to worship together today, and we've been reminded that we have a power that is not our own. If you are in Jesus, then the same Spirit that raised him from the dead is in you to stand against the tide that is in the world and to join God in his redemptive work. And church, if you are wondering whether there is full assurance of faith, full forgiveness for your sin, it's this same power by the finished work of Jesus that offers full forgiveness. So if you're in Christ, rest in the grace of the gospel today. And if you have questions about what that means, we would love to talk with you further. So now hear the benediction. Friends, may you walk in the power of him who lived and died and rose again for you. And may your lives be spilled out in worship for him. Go in his peace.